Could God really change your life? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Corey Douglas, who ended up in prison with a life sentence for someone else's crime.
So thinking about God changing my life, it was never something that I thought would happen, to be honest with you. I didn't realize that my life would change so much after I received Jesus. And sometimes I see people try to change themselves on their own,
right,
or try to change other people. So if we see someone doing something wrong, like, oh my gosh, you better stop drinking, it's so bad for you,
yes,
or stop smoking pot, or stop, you know, and we can focus on those things trying to nitpick and change people. But what I found is that God really can change people when they surrender their lives to Him.
I think that may be the only way, because you're right. I remember a lot in my life always trying to better myself. I mean, isn't that what New Year's resolutions were all about?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about making yourself a better person, you
right.
know, and changing things, changing bad habits. This year is going to be a new year, as if we really had the power in our own hands to do it.
Yeah.
But when you really, truly do give it to God, and to be honest with you, when I thought about, you know, like God changing people's lives, that was a foreign concept to me as an atheist. I thought that was like, oh yeah, right, God changing, you know, people's lives. Like, seriously, you got to make it happen. If you don't make it happen, then it's not going to happen. But then when I came to know Christ, because I was kind of at the end, I couldn't make it happen. I tried to do all that self-discipline. But when I came to know Christ, it was like just this amazing load of energy. And it literally changed my life so much that you could almost call me a different name, you know?
Yeah.
And people in the Bible, their names changed, signifying how much Christ had changed their lives and given them new identity.
I really like that. And I think about when I was 31 years old, and I said, this year, I'm going to be the Proverbs 31 woman. And I thought I could do this all by myself and I can be a good person. But it was that works mentality, trying to work my way to be some kind of good person, self-help. And that lasted probably like 3 days, because in and of ourselves, it is hard if we try to discipline ourselves to be something. But if we give ourselves to the Lord and we say, God, change us, mold us, we surrender to you, and we rest in Him, then we're not struggling and fighting to be something that we're not and trying to change our lives.
Well, that's why it says in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because God is the only one, when we offer ourselves to Him, He's the only one who can change us in the right way.
And I think that we will continuously change and grow. It's not like a miracle pill where overnight you're different, but you are different. But it's a consistent thing when you spend time with the Lord and get to know Him. Let's hear from Corey Douglas after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Elite Nails and Spa Towers and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Dreaming of a relaxing manicure, pedicure, and to die for nails? Make your dream a reality at Elite Nails and Spa, where they always take the time to leave you feeling sensational. Come see them at the corner of East Hamden and South Tower Road in Aurora, or call them at 303-955-7112. You'll get a 10% discount if you mention this radio ad. That's 303-955-7112.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Corey Douglas, and he's going to share with us all the things that led him to be incarcerated and how his life totally did a 180 when he was in jail. So let's welcome to the show, Corey. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yes. So tell me about your life and what led you into getting incarcerated.
Well, thinking back, I know that the incarceration pretty much started, you know, in my home unit. You know, we grew up in extreme poverty. I mean, we were eating food out of a cooler and walking through the house with candles and most of the times no heat and no water. And interesting thing is we stayed right beside a church and we would have to run hose pipes over to the church to get water. We just, you know, domestic abuse and violence in the home. And so as I grew up, I really never had a dad that was there, you know, because of a restraining order that was put on when him and my mom would get into a fight. And so as a child, I was just left to internalize a lot of these things without anyone sitting down and processing through it. I went on up into my teenage years and just began to hang out with different guys in the neighborhood. Ended up being choked by a stepfather and thrown across the room. And I think at that point, just the seed of bitterness and anger got on the inside of me, you know, because I was always slim and skinny and just felt hurt, you know, and just taken advantage of. I remember something on the inside of me saying that when I get older, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my mom and protect myself and family. So went on through high school, ended up in gangs and smoking weed and drinking and pretty much just living out the pain. So in the midst of the gang activity, I found myself just going overboard toward men, you know, when it came to violence. And so it's like I was just reliving the past and trying to pay what happened back in my life, trying to pay the abuser back for what he did, but taking it out on others. And so I found myself being extra violent and just blanking out and just going too far with things. And because of doing that, I gained a lot of respect and ended up becoming a leader in the gang. And so at the age of about 17, I had quit high school and I was in the street. I was lost in the street and dark. And I went back and I went to summer school to re-enroll because some just told me that dropping out is not the life. And in the midst of that, I was living a double life. You know, even though I was going to school, I was out robbing and there were gang wars and there were shootouts. And because there was so much going on, I didn't feel safe selling drugs. And so what I would do, I said, well, since I got guns, I'll just make money with guns. And so a friend of mine and I, we would rob drug dealers and we would hold them hostage and tie them up and torture them and do whatever we had to do to get the drugs. And the way the devil really tricked me, he was saying, well, at least you're not messing with earnest, hardworking citizens. As long as you're doing it to street people, that's okay. Wow. So in the midst of that, one night, we're in a situation and my friend ended up taking a guy's life in the process of that. And I was there and I was actually in agreement and I even tried to do it, but my gun would shoot. And I looked at the gun and I cursed it out and wondered why it didn't shoot. And so we got away for about 3 months and then they called us in for questioning and just trying to keep it real on the street and not want him to go down. The guy was like closer than a brother. We were in and out each other's house for like 7 years and, you know, closer than family members, taking each other's mom's places. And so when they called us in for investigation, they told me that he was putting it all on me. And if I knew anything, to say something. And, you know, I was cursing them out and just being rebellious and resisting and refused to open my mouth because I didn't want him to go down. And I didn't believe in working with the police officers at that time because I was from the street. And so they said, we're going to fry you in the electric chair. And I was, of course, was rebellious. And so when I came out of the interrogation room, they charged him with capital murder. And he actually blamed it all on me.
Oh, wow.
And that crushed me. And so I get charged with capital murder. I was 6 weeks away from graduating, taking pictures from cap and gown. And my whole life just changed at that moment. Now I'm facing death penalty or life without.
Wow. What were you thinking in that moment? Were you wanting to run away? Were you, I mean, what was the initial like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
Well, the initial feeling in my mind was just hurt and unforgiveness. And I had a lot of hatred in my heart toward him. And at that point, I was fuming off of hate and wanted to pay him back because when I got in that situation, my mom called and I heard her crying. And that was the first time I heard my mom break down and cry. And so everybody that I had heard, my dad was a minister. He worked for the city. So it brought a stigma on the family. You know, and everybody was looking at me like I was just like Charles Manson, you know, or someone. And so I blamed it all on him because I felt betrayed. I felt hurt. And it fueled a hate in me too. I was willing to go to prison and do 10 years. And my mindset was just to get out to kill him and to repay him for the pain that he had caused.
Wow. So tell me what happened, how you had this supernatural encounter in the midst of all this chaos and anger and hatred and bitterness that you were going through with all of it.
Well, in the county jail, they had me in lockup because when you have a certain kind of case, they isolate you from the general population. And so I was able to hear a man that used to come up there in the county jail, and he used to walk around the corridors of our floor, and he would just talk about the gospel. He would broadcast it, and he couldn't get close to me because of my crime, but I was listening, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew the history of this man. He used to be homeless. He used to be a drug addict. He used to sleep on the side of the road. And here he was coming back in here ministering the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard of anyone delivered from crack cocaine or from drugs. And so when he came and I saw him, he was presenting a message I never heard. He would simply say that Jesus loves you, and if you go to hell, it won't be because God sent you there because of your sin, but because of your unbelief in Jesus. Mm. And I had never heard that, you know. And when I saw him, he was missing a lot of teeth. He was old. He didn't have a lot of money or clothes, but he had this peace. Mm. And he had this love and this presence coming for him. And I looked at him and I said to myself, you know, I've never been homeless and I've never been strung out on drugs like him. But if his God could do that for him, maybe there's something to this God thing for me.
Wow. You know, I know it gets more in depth, and something really happened to you where you had a supernatural encounter and actually a visitation with the Lord. And we want to hear more about that, but we'll have to have you on our next show to share what happened to you and what happened with all that hatred and bitterness. We're going to pray for our guests right now who are going through a time where they just want to get back at whoever hurt them or their family members. So we're going to pray for them, and we'll have you back on, Corey, to hear the rest of your testimony.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, this is such a powerful testimony, knowing that hatred and anger and bitterness can totally destroy our lives. What was interesting is what he heard, that if God could do this for him, then God can also do things for me. God can change my life. If God can truly change Corey's life, then God can change your life. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, God can bring change even right now. Jesus, we're asking for you to begin to usher in that change into our lives. We need a change. And Jesus, we know that we have to invite you into our lives in order to have that change. So Jesus, come, bring change. Bring that new change for someone who's listening and saying, I need that change. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. We're ready to change. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
He's able. Just call out now. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.